Welcome to the podcast of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Greenwood, Mississippi. We are a community of Christians that exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ and influence the Delta for the glory of God. More information about Westminster can be found at www.wpcgreenwood.org.
If you are wondering, I have one dog and two cats, so... this morning we're going to be looking at Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. This is actually the most famous benediction in the Bible. It's actually a benediction. It's a blessing that points us, it directs us to Jesus and the gospel. Gene Stansel, he actually told me that this is the only benediction that I should ever give as a pastor. And I'll let you figure out if I've obeyed that or not. And this happens to be the sermon that I preached last week at Providence. So with that said, let me pray and I'll just read the passage. Heavenly Father, this morning we ask that you would guide us by your word and in your spirit, that in your light we would see light, and in your truth that we would find wisdom, and in your will discover your peace through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is our peace. We pray this in his name. Amen. Numbers chapter 22, Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. This is God's word. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them.'" This is God's word for God's people. When I was a high school senior, my English teacher, she was Miss Subkowiak. And I just remember Miss Subkowiak, she was super cool. I also remember that I not only liked her, but that she actually took a special interest in me. I was her teacher's assistant, and I would grade papers for her and with her after lunch. And a lot of times in the office, we would just find ourselves talking and visiting and really joking around, having a good time. And she was also a very serious teacher. So not only did she like me, she was also very serious. Her class was difficult, and she actually taught me the basics of writing. These are skills that I even use today. So she actually wasn't afraid to push us as a teacher. And for some reason, I really wanted her to be happy with me and with my work, and I really wanted to do well in her class, but I also had this other thing going on. I was a senior in high school, and I had a really, really bad case of what's called senioritis. I wasn't diagnosed, but I just knew I was struggling with senioritis. And so when she assigned this five-page paper on the latest book that she made us read, I'll just tell you, I wasn't very interested in that project. And so I did the math. I looked at all my grades that I had completed, that we had done, and I figured out that I could take the zero in her class. And I'd figured out that if I just took the zero, didn't write the paper, I was going to get a 70 in her class. I would pass, but just barely. And so I took the zero, didn't write the paper, and just kind of moved on with my life. Kids, that's a bad example. Don't do that. But then, like, though I didn't write the paper, I had to deal with the disappointment from Ms. Subkowiak. I never told her what I'd done. I was just waiting for her to say something to me, for that disappointment to just kind of fall on my head. And then one day, when I was sitting in her office, we were grading papers, we weren't really talking, she just turned around suddenly, and she told me that she couldn't find my paper. And she assumed that she had lost it, and she was scrambling around to find it. She told me it was probably at home, maybe it was in her car, whatever it was, she couldn't find my work, and she was wondering, like, do I have the ability to print that again? That was before everybody had a printer at their house. And I remember looking at her, and I told her I didn't write the paper. That's what I said. I told her I was just going to take the zero. And she looked at me just really kind of concerned, and she said, "But if you fail my class, you can't graduate." So like graduation, that was at stake here. And she ran to her desk and she began to try to figure out what I was going to make in the class, what my grade was going to be. And I just kind of stood there nervously, and I was just privately hoping I'd done the math right, you know. Finally, she leaped out of her chair and she screamed that I had passed with a 70. And I wasn't going to go to summer school, and I was going to actually get to graduate. I was going to get to walk, like all the stuff. She also just let me know that I was her favorite teacher, and that it was really, really, she was going to take it really, really hard if she had to fail me. And she was also really upset that I didn't do the assignment. So at this point, I looked at her and I told her that I had done the math, and I felt pretty certain that I just didn't need to write the paper, that I was going to get a 70. At this point, she just laughed at me, with me. And so that there was a strange moment with my teacher, my favorite teacher, and I happened to be her favorite student. I had disappointed her, no doubt. I had let her down, and at the same time, in this moment, I found that I liked her even more. Like I had rebelled against her, and she also had found a way to bless me with her laughs and her hug and her worries and her concern that I was going to end up failing her class, and she didn't want to do that. And in this moment, I saw that Ms. Subkowiak, she actually cared about me as a person. And so even though I'd rebelled against her, against the work, she found a way to bless me. And we see a little bit of this in our text today. You see, all of us, we are looking for a blessing from God. None of us deserve it. It's all a gift. It's something that we just can receive. And so today there are two points that I want us to see in our text today. The first, we're going to see that there is a search for blessing that we all participate in. The second thing that we're going to see is that blessing is a gift. And so 2 points, the search for blessing and then the gift of blessing. And so let's look at this first point, the search for blessing. And we don't really realize it. We kind of do this unconsciously, but we spend a lot of energy every day just looking for a blessing. And the problem with this is that all of us, we tend to look in the wrong places or in the wrong things. And so instead of going to God looking for blessing, what we do is we look for blessings where there is no true blessing to be found. And so some of us, we seek blessing in what we have, our possessions. We think that our significance in this world has everything to do with what we have. It could be your car, it could be your clothes, it could be your bank account. Like, whatever it is, your measure of worth in this world has everything to do with what you have. For others, blessing has everything to do with who you know. It's your relationships. It could be a romantic relationship. It could be that you need to be known, or you just need people to know you, and that the perception of you is that you are an important person in this world. I'll just say this is the thing that pops up in my heart every time I go to General Assembly and I'm with all the pastors and I'm looking around and I'm thinking, they're so important, woe is me. Or I do this at Presbytery. It's a thing. And what I'm really doing in this moment is I'm seeking a blessing from these people. For others, it's accomplishments. You're someone that needs to make things happen. When you're young, it was your sports or it was academics. You weren't the person that would take the zero in senior English. You have made sure you got the zero. And today you think the blessing in life is all about what you can make happen in this world today and next week. So whatever it is, and I can go on, all of this seeking a blessing, it's really just another way to talk about idolatry. And there are many things that we hold on to that we could call the functional trust of our hearts, that hold on to that trust where if we have that thing, then we think that we are finally good, that we think that we are finally blessed. And time again, this thing that we thought was going to bless us actually becomes a curse of some sort. And so here's the reality. We all need blessing desperately. It's a very real need that we all share in common. We were born for it, and there is no lasting joy without this blessing. And so what oxygen is for the lungs and protein for the body, that is what blessing is for our souls. With a blessing, we become winsome, we become free. Without it, we become willful, fearful, stingy, angry, bitter. Like, blessing is the one thing people need most from us, but it's the one thing we cannot give until we've received it. You see, a blessing is life's most precious possession. And what we find in this text is that the blessing that all of us long for and search for and wish for and sometimes even fight for, it's a blessing that comes from the Lord. This is actually what this whole passage is about. Did you notice this in the text? It's a familiar text. You may not have noticed it. Three times the Lord says he will bless his people. Look at verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. Verse 25, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. That's another blessing. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And notice the word Lord. Do you see that? It's in all caps. Do you know what that means in the Bible, in the English Bible? This is the personal name of God. It's Yahweh or Jehovah. And so this is a very personal blessing that the Lord is giving to his people. This is where the blessing that all of us are looking for as the people of God. God is the blessing himself. And just in case you missed the whole point of the text, look at verse 27. He says, I will bless them. He's talking to his people. So we look, we search, and we strive, and we fight, and we long for the blessing. And here all along, the Lord says, I will bless them. I will do it. And so what we find here is that the blessing that we long for, it's not something that we chase or have to fight for. It's not something we have to earn. Blessing is a gift. It's a gift, which brings us to our next point, the gift of blessing. And so what is blessing? What is blessing? If blessing isn't building a life on your own or having all the right stuff, what is blessing? And the text tells us. Blessing comes from God, and the blessing is God. And so blessing is found in a relationship with God where we experience all of his protections and all of his favor. And there are a few aspects of his blessing that we see in the text. First, did you notice that it says, the Lord bless you and keep you? Keep you. That's his protection. That's the first kind of blessing that God brings to his people. And so the Lord knows what we need for food. He knows we need food, we need drink, we need all that stuff to sustain our bodies. He knows that we need clothes. He knows that we need a house. He holds our futures, and he's held us in the past. He has held us. And so as one commentator put it, the Lord's blessing includes all of those things given to us in exactly the right measure with fatherly wisdom. The Lord keeps his people. And so there's nothing wrong with wanting all of those things and asking God to give those things to us, because we can know that the Lord's protection, his keeping of his people, it's a wonderful and it's a reassuring truth. But the blessing of God is so much more than this. If blessing were only that, if blessing were only protection, a lot of us, we would just assume that we aren't blessed by God, because we would see that others, they seem to have it so much better than we do. It seems like they never get sick. They're always on vacation. They always have the trip. Nothing ever goes wrong in their life. Their team always wins the championship. What is going on, Lord? We would tell ourselves. And the priestly benediction unpacks the deeper aspects of the Lord blessing in two very vivid images. It says, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Saying the same thing two different ways. And so true, what we can take from this is that true blessing, like actually being blessed by God, is knowing God face to face. And notice, just notice, that the Lord's face is shining here. His face shines on his people. God's face shines when he looks at us. And so let me ask you, have you ever seen anyone's face shine? And I'm not talking about the sweaty preacher up in the front. I'm talking about a face that really shines. Like their smiles are bigger, their eyes, they're sparkling, their face is just beaming because they are just so pleased. They're so happy. Like it's the kids on Christmas morning, right? Their faces are shining. It's people who are young and in love. Their face shines when they see each other. It's what we all do when our team scores the winning touchdown. It's when you make that 20-foot putt to save par or maybe even get the birdie. Your face just shines. Lee, it's Bruno hitting the top corner, right? Your face shines. We are just so pleased and so happy. Our faces are just shining. So this is the heart of being blessed by God. It's to have the Lord delight in us, so much that his face just shines when he looks at us. I love the way one commentator put it. He says, blessing is our Heavenly Father's face beaming as he looks at us, his people. So let me just ask you this question. Do you believe that God delights in you? Can you imagine God delighting, like his face shining when he sees you? Like you just scored the winning touchdown for his team, and he's so pleased with you because you did that. He's pleased with you. This is what every child longs for from their parents. They want their mother and their father to look at them, and they want their faces to shine just because they know that they are loved so much. They're loved like that. Like children need to know that they are important to their parents, that their parents light up whenever they walk into the room, right? It's what we want from our spouses and from our friends. We want others. We want to know that others are pleased with us. So pleased with us that their faces shine. And some of us, we never got that from our earthly parents. And not having this blessing, it has cost you in life. And maybe you spent your whole life just wishing you can get it, a word of blessing from your father, something that lets you know that they are proud of you, a loving hug from your mother, just something to know that your parents are pleased with you. And it hasn't come, and it might not come. And yet in this text, we see that God wants you to feel his blessing today. He wants you to feel his pleasure. He wants you to feel that his face actually shines when he looks at you. And it's actually at this point when a lot of us, if we're being honest, we're sitting there and we're just thinking, like, how can God be pleased with me? We look at our lives and we think we've just wasted them. We think of all the missed opportunities that we've had to share the gospel. We think of ourselves as being lazy Christians. We think of everything that we have done, could have done to tell more people about Jesus. Or we think about that time that we could have gone on that mission trip, but we didn't. We chose to go to the beach instead. Like, how could God actually be pleased with me? We tell ourselves. Or in our quiet moments, we remember our failures. And we look at our sin. And we think about those secret sins that nobody knows about except God. We think of what we did when we were young, or we think of what we're doing when we're old, and we tell ourselves that if people knew what we had done or how we think, that they could never love us and they couldn't even like us. So how could God be pleased with us? But here, friends, right here, we see that God wants to bless his people just because he wants to do that. He's pleased to do that. His face actually shines when he thinks of you. And sadly, we just struggle to receive this kind of love from God, don't we? It's so hard to believe. It's like we put our souls on this seesaw where we go up and down, where we think we are blessed by God, but then we believe that we are cursed. We think that when we become a Christian, when we first came to Jesus, then we are finally blessed. We've been forgiven, but then we start living our lives and we find that we still have to deal with sin over time, and there's this whisper that grows into a shout, and then one day it's so loud, it's all we hear. And we believe, all we believe is that we are cursed and that there is no way ever that God could actually love us, much less his face shines when he sees us. We think our lives are this constant game of God loves me or he loves me not, or God condemns me or he condemns me not, or God blesses me or God blesses me not. And we go through life just hoping, wishing that someone, somewhere could love us, when all along, God, the creator of the universe, he is pleased with us. He has blessed us. And we can have gospel confidence today. It's available to us through Jesus. And what makes God's blessing to his people so absolutely amazing is that none of us, not a single one of us, deserve the blessing. In the two chapters before this blessing in the book of Numbers, there's this whole series of laws for two very different kind of people. Now, Numbers 5 records the laws that cover the test for a wife who is accused of unfaithfulness. That's one kind of person, an unfaithful wife. Now, number 6 gives us the laws for the person who has taken a Nazirite vow. This is a vow for a period of time as someone for someone who has wanted to be more fully devoted to the Lord. And so in these two chapters, as we lead up to this blessing that we're looking at today, we have two very different kinds of people. We have the unfaithful we have the faithful Nazirite, and then we also have the unfaithful wife. And Israel, all along, was supposed to be the faithful Nazirite. The people of God, they were supposed to live lives that were fully devoted to God. But the sad history of their story is that she was more often the faithless wife. That's who Israel was. She chased other gods. She complained to the Lord. She grumbled. She rebelled. She never kept the law, and she wanted to be like all the other nations that surrounded her instead of being the holy nation that was set apart for the Lord. And yet, the Lord is able to say, "The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you." So, which of these people is more like you? Are you more the Nazirite? Are you faithful in everything? Or are you more like the unfaithful wife? And I'll just say that all of us in here, including me, we're the unfaithful wife. Before God found us and brought us to himself, all of us, we were dead in our transgressions and in our sin. That was us. That's our story. And even after we were saved and after God showed his love for us, what do? We wander. We sang it earlier. We're prone to wander, right? We complain. We grumble. We look for blessings in other places and in other things. We are just like the unfaithful wife. We're not the faithful ones. And yet God is determined to bless us. And God is able to bless us. He is able to bless unfaithful people like us because he sent his son to be completely faithful in our place. And so Jesus Christ, he came and he lived a perfect devotion to God. He was the true Nazarite. He was always faithful. And he was always the one who kept God's law in every detail. His heart was constantly filled with loving obedience to God and to others. And so he truly earned the Lord's blessing. In fact, on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples, they heard the Father say of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Though the Lord, the Father, was pleased with the Son. And on that mountain, Jesus, he was physically illuminated with the reflective glory of his Father's favor. The disciples saw the Father's face shining on Jesus. He knew his Father's face had turned toward him in blessing. So friends, the Lord wants his blessing and his name placed on us in the same way. And in fact, he wants it so much that Jesus suffered the cross to bless you. He endured the curse of the cross so that we could be blessed. And maybe you've heard the story, but it's about an orphan boy who was living with his grandmother in the house. It caught on fire. The grandmother died while trying to rescue the boy, and as the house was burning, the boy's cries could be heard upstairs, and finally a man climbed an iron drain pipe and came down with the boy, and the boy was hanging tightly to the man's neck, and then several weeks later, after all the dust had settled, there was this thing, what are we going to do with this boy? Like, who is going to have custody of this boy? And various people were there in the courtroom, and there was a farmer, a teacher, the town's richest family. They all gave reasons why they should be able to have custody of the boy. And as they talked and as they argued, that the boy's eyes just remained focused on the floor. He was distant. He was unmoved. Really, as his whole destiny was being decided right in front of him. And then this stranger walked to the front. He slowly took his hands out of his pockets. And he revealed the horrible burn scars that were on his hands. And the crowd knew. And the boy cried out because he knew who this was. This was the man that had saved his life, whose hands had burned when he climbed the hot pipe. And the boy, right then, he leaped into the man's arms. And he held on for dear life. Everyone walked away, and they left the boy and his rescuer alone. The marred hands had settled the issue. The boy was his. And it's the same for us. It's the same for us. We also have a rescuer whose hands and feet have been scarred on our behalf, who gave his very life so that we could be adopted into his family. He endured the curse so that we could have the blessing. This is the gospel, right? We were drowning in our sin, and God has shown up, and he's led us to the rope of safety. His name is Jesus. He's put his hands around your hands, and he has helped you take hold of everything that he has for you, all of the blessings, all of them. And all you have to do is stop trying to swim out of your own mess. All you have to do is stop trying to be your own rescuer. Like, stop trying to earn the blessing and just receive it. Confess and admit that you are a mess and that you need help. And trust that his work, it's enough for you. And if you do that, every spiritual blessing, it's there for the taking. It's yours. Because you have been adopted into the family of God. You are his child. And so if you are in Christ, when he looks at you, when God looks at you, you need to know there's a smile. His face shines. He wants to bless you just because he wants to bless you. And he has blessed you through Jesus Christ. And friends, this is all we need in a chaotic world that we all live in. That blessing from God, it's there. Will you take it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Too many of us get tossed here and there by the world and also by our own sin. And too many times it's because we've forgotten who we are and what you have done for us and how we have blessing in you. And so, Lord, we ask that you let us be a people that live out the blessing that you have for us in Christ. Help us live in the security you've given us for today and for tomorrow. And let us be a people that know all of our blessings. And let our lives be different as a result. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, Richard Owens here. I just wanted to take a second to say thank you for listening to the podcast of Westminster Presbyterian Church. Our prayer is that the Lord would use this message to encourage you in the gospel and that you would find Jesus to be more beautiful than you ever imagined. If you'd like to find out more about who Jesus is or more about our church, I invite you to visit our website at wpcgreenwood.org. God bless.